I think we've got something behind us today. You might go, dear Lord, is this a biology class? Well, we're going to start a series this morning and for the next 2 weeks after this, so 3 weeks total, called Getting It Right. Getting It Right. And we're really going to be looking along the lines of finances and something maybe Brittany just shared a moment ago, just concerning what God says about this thing that we deal with every single day of our life. Every single thing that we choose costs money almost. Where we choose to go, eat, many of you after church, what you're going to do for lunch will be determined by how much money you have or the lack of it. What you do for a vacation or you don't. Where you live or where you don't. What you have for retirement or what you don't. Everything in life revolves and has something to do, affects us in a way, about money. And guys, the great news is that God knows that. That's why He talks about it so much in the Bible. Not to try to hurt us, not to try to maim us, but so that we would all come to an understanding, like Brittany said a minute ago, about this guy called Abram in Genesis, that God talks to him and He speaks to him about a covenant with him. And he partners with God. And God does some amazing things in his life, providing for him. But after he sees God show up in his life in a supernatural way, which is available to every single one of us, Abram names this place with God called God Will Provide. He actually says, Jehovah Jireh, as Brittany says. He calls that place the God who sees ahead and provides. I don't know about you, but I'm excited, as Brittany said a moment ago, that we can serve a God who knows what's coming and who will position me to handle what's coming. Can you say amen? I heard a story. Some of you have heard me say this before and tell this before over the course of years, but it really struck home with me. There was a father and a son that went to McDonald's, and this father, kind of like me, I've done before. I didn't really want to eat the McDonald's, so I actually bought it for my kids, and maybe you've done that too. Well, this dad did that. He bought the Happy Meal for his son and sat down, and there the son was with the cheeseburger, the fries, and the small drink. You've seen it. And yet the dad did like what I've done, and you've done probably too, is the dad went to reach for one of his son's fries. And the son then took the fries, and he brought them back to himself, and he really didn't. He just said, no, Dad. And when he said that, this gentleman that rehearsed this story that I've told you before, maybe you've never heard it, he really had an epiphany, a God moment at that time, and he said, really, he saw several things that was happening. Number one, my son doesn't know that I'm the source of his fries. I am the source of his fries. My son doesn't have enough money to buy a Happy Meal. I provide everything for my son. I house him. I cook for him. We buy clothes for him. We have transportation for him. I'm the source of my son's fries. Number two, the man said, he doesn't realize that I have the power to take the fries from him. I could confiscate his fries. The third thought came to his mind. The dad said, my son doesn't realize I don't need his fries. I have more money. I can buy my own. These three thoughts this morning are so simple to look at and isolate maybe for an instance with French fries at McDonald's. But the truth of it bears witness in every area of our life that God, this morning for the next 2 weeks, I hope there's a transformation in your life, which we're going to talk about three areas of our life, spirit, soul, and body. But a transformation this morning in our spirit, in our affections, in our heart, concerning that God is really the source of everything that we have. That God really doesn't need your fries. He has His own fries. But that God could, I don't believe that He would, but He could take your fries from you. Willingness to share your fries, of course, is the key. Willingness to share your resources is the key. This specifically deals with your and my heart and our attitude. Everybody in this room has some fries. You have resources. We make decisions with what we have. We make decisions with what we don't have. We make decisions by what we think somebody else has, maybe that they should give to us, which is just really an anti-Christ thought. Everyone here today needs to realize God has given me something in my hand through work, employment, through the fruit of my labor that I believe God's blessed me with, whether it's your education or the brain that He gave you to make resources or whatever you do with your hands, with the business that you're involved in, that God wants to multiply that, but to show you and I on a consistent basis that He is still the lawful and the right owner of everything on the earth. The Scripture says something really amazing. We'll get to it in just a second. But I want you to look on the screen and see this quote. It says that God, throw that up there, guys, real quick. God requires nothing of us that He hasn't already given to us. In other words, God's not unjust. God's not unfair. God's not a robber. God's not going to ask something from you and me that He hasn't already given to us. It's a God principle. He's never going to tell you to do something, give something that it's impossible for you to do. Impossible for you to do. He'll stretch you, He'll challenge you at times, but God's nature is that God will always position you and me to deal with this area of our heart and our attitude and our affections to realize that we're here to manage what He's given to us, that He's the lawful and the rightful owner, and if we'll position our heart, if we'll position our family, we will see God's increase in our life, and we'll see things that God will do for us that not only are monetary and beneficial for you and your family with increase in favor, but again, as we've said many times, you'll see God do things for you that money cannot buy. Psalm 24:1 says this. Look at it. Let's say this real quick. The earth is the Lord's. Come on, read that with me, the first part. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Notice the world. And all its people belong to Him. If you really believe that, that's really an issue of the ownership issue of who owns it all. It says the earth really belongs to God and every single thing in it. All the gold, all the silver, all the resources that everything we've done comes from. You might think, well, there's people that have mental power, but from their mental power that God gave them, they bring product and productivity from that. God is the rightful owner of it all. So in this series, we're just going to address these things concerning spirit, concerning our soul, our mind, will, emotions, and intellect, our thinking, and concerning our body. What do we do now? What's God required of us? What's God want of us? Hopefully, you take some notes, write some things down again today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Notice what it says in the NIV. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Your heart. Come on, somebody say your heart. We're not talking about your pumping heart. We're talking about really that part of your life, that part of your life that's internal, that part of your life that no one sees, that part of your life that's the real you. But specifically talking about your heart, talking about your affections. Whatever's in there, the Scripture says, will come out. That's why Proverbs, the writer here, says, guard your heart, keep your heart, because from your heart will flow life. From your heart will flow everything in your life. From your heart will flow anger. From your heart will flow racism. From your heart will flow belief, disbelief, unbelief, doubt, negativity, fear, worry, concern, frustration. From your heart. So the writer says, guard your heart. What I've realized, and probably you have too, is that money is nothing more than a magnifier. Money magnifies and reveals who we really are. Money reveals what we really believe. Money reveals what's really in our heart. Money reveals the values of our heart. Money in itself is not evil. We've talked about that before. The Scripture specifically says, loving it is evil, the root of all evil. Loving it. Money itself is impersonal. It has no personality. It has no individual right or wrong. Money in the hands of a righteous person, a Ben Franklin in the hands of a righteous person, can bless somebody, feed the poor, clothe somebody. It can support work at the church. It can send a missionary out to do something. It can do something great. Money, a Ben Franklin, a $100 bill in the hands of an unrighteous or an evil person, it'll roll it up and smoke crack. It'll buy a prostitute. It'll go on pornography. It'll do something crazy. Money isn't evil in itself. It's the heart concerning it. It's the heart. We've said this before, that you can actually give without loving, but you can never love without giving. So if you love something, it changes your focus. It changes your perspective. You know, we found that again, kind of get on my, I'm in my grandfather mode here for a second. You know, our eldest son had a baby, little Madison, 2 months old. And so now, when we kind of hang around and maybe go to eat, you know, Pastor Kimberly says, hey, let's go by Carter's out there in Otay. Let's go by Gymboree. Let's just kind of see. How many know that's a setup, husbands? There is no seeing. There's buying going on. Because her heart and her affections have been changed by this little child. And so what you love, what's in you, and what's in your affections, you want to love, you want to give towards, you want to support. And so somebody said this, we can really see what we love by our checkbooks, our bank balances. We can see what we really love by maybe what we do with our money and the things we take trips on or whatever. We've just decided, just kudos to my wife, Kimberly, I tell you what, my gosh, I'm a blessed man. Because we just decided early on that we were just going to be givers, we were going to tithe, we were going to give offerings, we're going to support the poor, we're going to give to missions, and if we've got to suffer, if we've got to sacrifice, that's okay. Because we're not living just for what we see. Because I really believe in this thing called eternity. And I believe the Bible says that my giving and your giving goes on before us. Come on, somebody. And so Pastor Kimberly, you know, she would just knuckle up and she just believed God. And so when we were early on, listen to me, honestly, no sad story, just the truth. First 20 years of our marriage, we didn't really take vacations. We didn't. We sacrificed and we give and we support other people. And then when we had enough finances, it seems like we take other, you know, small trips and things like that. But when we had enough, then we could do some other things. But we never let our giving affect what we believed God wanted to do in our heart and our attitude to seek God's kingdom and His will and His purpose in a greater measure. We're going to look at some negative situations here from the Bible. We'll look at about three, maybe four, some challenges for all of us. And then we'll come in just a couple minutes to this guy named King David, who was an amazing guy. David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. He wasn't a perfect man by any means. If you read the accounts, he did several things wrong. The Bible's real clear on that. But it says he was a man after God's own heart. So we want to kind of go back and forth, and we want to see a negative side, and we want to see some positive sides, and hopefully we're all going to slip over in the positive side. Can you say amen? There's a guy that was one of Jesus' close associates, his disciples, and his name was Judas. How many of you know that there's no boys being born in San Diego named Judas anymore? Come on. Nobody names their child Judas. Well, this guy is an amazing dude. He's got something working in his heart. We're talking about his heart and your affections. And so there's a woman that came into the house where Jesus was and was so overwhelmed with love for him. The Bible says that she had a jar of very costly ointment. And when Jesus came, she broke open the jar and she began washing his feet with her hair. The fragrance, the Bible says in John 12, filled the whole house. The religious leaders were indignant of what was going on. And Judas says this in John 12, verse 5 and 6. It says the perfume was worth a year's wages. Come on, say a year's wages. How much money do you make this year? You just got your W-2. This woman broke open her W-2 and gave it all to Jesus. Incredible. Incredible. It says it should have been sold. Here's Judas. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Verse 6, the writer, John, the beloved, writes this after the fact of the resurrection, looking back years later at all these stories and instances that happened in Jesus' life, John records in John 12:6, notice this, not that he, Judas, cared for the poor. He was a thief, and since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. His heart wasn't right. His heart was in the wrong place. The Bible says here three things I think are really interesting in verse 6. He didn't care, he was a thief, and he was out for himself. He didn't care, He was a thief, and he was out for himself. I'm not saying that's concerning you this morning, but there are things here that I've got to make sure that I don't magnify in my life. I got to take my heart and make sure it's saturated and pliable with this Scripture to make sure concerning my life that I care for what God cares about. That I'm not taking as a thief what doesn't belong to me, what really rightfully belongs to God or His work. And I got to make sure that I'm not drawing finances and resources just for myself, but that I'm liberal and I'm generous with what God's blessed me with. Later on, as you well know, Judas, it didn't stop here, but remember that Judas actually sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. Again, money. Money had a hold on this guy. Second example. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a story of a commander of Syria. His name is Naaman. Naaman's an amazing guy, evidently a phenomenal warrior and a leader, a captain of this whole regiment. Only problem was that Naaman was a leper. Naaman actually had a servant girl in his quarters, and she told him, "Would to God that you'd go back to Israel, because there's a prophet there. He'll cleanse you of your leprosy." Well, Naaman actually packed up some of his guys and packed up a bunch of money and offerings on donkeys, and they went taking off, man. And when they found where Elisha, the prophet, was, Elisha gave him a word. And he said, "Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll come up whole. Your skin will be completely whole." Completely whole. And the Bible says he actually, through a course of events, he was kind of hesitant, but he actually did it. And the 7th time that he came out of that dirty Jordan River, his skin was completely healed. He was so overjoyed and so overwhelmed with the healing in his life that he went back to where Elisha was, and he had, with his camels and his donkeys, all laden down with all these goods, clothing and silver, to actually bless him with. And he told the prophet Elisha, "Here, I want to give you this stuff." And the prophet Elisha said, "I'm not taking that. I'm not healing you to get you some pay for it. You just worship God and get on down the road." But there's something interesting that was going on. Hearing all this, and seeing all this, was Elisha's servant named Gehazi. And here's what it says. Notice what it says in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20. Gehazi says, "My master should have not let this Aramean get away without accepting any of his gifts. As surely as the Lord lives, I will chase after him and get something from him." Notice the phrase here. I don't know how to really kind of get this morning and try to say it like I need to say it. I've been thinking about it all week. But notice the phrase here. He says, "As surely as the Lord lives." As surely as the Lord lives. In other words, God's backing me on this decision. God's backing me on me going after this guy and getting something for myself. The prophet must have lost his mind. But I have got God's backing to go do something that violates God's will. If you violate God's will, you're going to be on God's bad side. You're not going to see the blessing of God. You're not going to see the provision of God. You'll see struggle. You'll see failure. You'll see fear. You'll see neglect. You'll see, like the Bible says, where it's like you have resources in your hand and it pours through your hand like sand. The Bible says something crazy here, that Gehazi goes to Naaman. And Naaman, again, he tracks him down. He tracks him down. Maybe he's a couple of miles. Maybe he's 5 miles, 10 miles down the road. He tracks him down. And he lies to him. He says, "There were some sons of the prophet that came to Elisha since you've been gone. And we need the silver now. We need the clothing now." And you know Naaman, he wanted to give it in the first place. So he says, "Don't just take this. Let me give you some more." And so Gehazi comes back to his tent, comes back to his house with the camels and the donkeys from Naaman. And the Bible says he took that stuff and he put it in his house. Only problem was God alerted Elisha and showed him what happened. He calls Gehazi. And he says, "Gehazi, didn't my heart go with you when you tracked down Naaman?" And he says, the leprosy that was on Naaman is now going to be on you. And instantly, he was leprous. His heart wasn't right. If you don't guard your heart from money, money will make you chase it, and money will make you get it for yourself. It happens to all of us. It's happened to me. It happens to all of us, where you go and all you think about is it. Think about getting it. I laugh this time of the year for a lot of us is tax season. Come on, someone say, bless the IRS, Lord Jesus. Help them, Lord. Just bless them. But so many of us, we do our taxes, and as soon as we do, we're hoping for a return, right? Come on, somebody, hoping for a return. We're hoping for a return. And when you file your taxes, the money is spent before you put down the pencil. One thing, again, I applaud, just want to give a shout out to Pastor Kimberly, birthday thanks, I guess, you know, is that there's so many times when we've gotten our tax return back. We've had, you know, maybe, $2,000 or $3,000. We said, let's give it all. Let's do something crazy. Let's just give it all. And so, note she says, yes. Yes. Many years we've been able to do that. Not bragging, just telling you how we've lived. We've given away several cars. Paid for. This is what we do. We believe this stuff, that if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and break the hold of money and resources off our lives, God will do things in the end, whenever that is, for us and for our kids, that's going to be greater than anything money can buy. Can you say amen? Break the hold of getting it and chasing it off your life. Come on, one more. One more. Matthew 25 is a great parable. A parable is a story that Jesus told many times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He tells one of Matthew 25 about an owner, a manager, who had some servants. And he said he's going to go away on a long trip, so he called his three servants together, and to one of his servants he gave 5 bags of silver. To the other he gave 2 bags of silver. And to the last one, the third one, he gave 1 bag of silver. And he said, occupy or do business till I come. I'm going to come back. Do business. Buy and trade, sell, do business with it. Well, the Bible says that after a while, the owner came back. And the owner took the guy who had the 5, and he said, well, you gave me 5, and here's 5 more. Here's 10. And the owner said, my gosh, well done, good and faithful sinner. Son, come enter the joy of the Lord. And the guy who had 2 multiplied his 2x2, he had 4. But then something crazy happens here. With the guy who had 1, the story says the guy who had 1 went and dug a hole and put it in the ground. He did nothing with what the owner gave him. He didn't realize, evidently, that the owner expected a return, or he didn't want to hear it. And we're going to find out what he said, that I challenge you that this not be said of you and me. The owner came back, and as he did with the guy with the 5, the guy with the 2, he comes to the guy with the 1 and said, hey, what have you done? Here's what that man said to him in Matthew 25:24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops that you didn't plant and gathering crops that you didn't cultivate. In other words, you're a thief, you're a stealer. You're gathering things that you didn't even plant or cultivate. The guy with the 5 never said that. The guy with the 2 never said that. But we find something here with this man. Look at it on the screen. These words came from his own heart about how he saw the owner. It was not reality. But how he saw the owner. How he viewed the owner. Listen to me. Here's the word picture, or here is the picture. How you view God will be determined by how big your heart is towards what His Word says. If you view Him as austere and hard and bitter, and He's trying to wring something out of me, and doesn't He know what I'm going through? Your view of God would determine, again, what affects your heart, your affections, your attitude, what goes on in your heart, the motives of your heart, by how you view God. If you don't view God as a loving Heavenly Father who has got nothing but good for you, who wants to bless you and increase you, then it will skew your view of Him. This was not reality of who the owner was, but this is what that servant saw Him as, because it was in that servant's heart. His heart and his affections affected his ability concerning the owner. It's amazing. Amazing. I've seen it over and over. You probably have too. Where people's heart gets steered in the wrong direction. I don't know about you, but it's imperative, and it happens to all of us, even concerning recently, in the last 6 months, we were looking for a car. And so I'd sold a car, and so we were looking for another car and kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. And so guess what you do? I mean, well, I don't know what you do. I spend time on the internet, and I spend time just scouring to look for certain car, looking for features. I ask different people to see exactly, you know, the models and what the specs are and gas mileage and service records and all that stuff. And then when you're driving around, it's happened to you. Your mind's on something. And so when you're driving around, it's like that car is all you see. That car is everywhere. That car is everywhere. It shows up everywhere. Why? Your heart and your affections are toward it, and it just keeps showing up. It'll do it, listen to me, positively or negatively. It'll do it with God's thing, or it will do it concerning greed and lust, and I can't have enough. And you could leave a church service today, and somebody could be out in a brand new car today, and you go, "Dear God, how could they have that car?" But you don't realize thousands of dollars maybe they've given to the kingdom of God. You don't realize years of work and things that have done. You don't, maybe somebody gave it to them. But our heart, our spirit, our affections get skewed. Write this scripture down. Hopefully you think about these two verses all week. Colossians 2, 1 and 2. How are we doing, everybody, this morning? Okay? Good. Colossians 2, 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, if you're born again, he says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. If then you were with Christ, where if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It says in verse 2, set your mind or your affections. Set your mind or your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. The word mind there in the original language is affections. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Your affections control your thinking. Your affections control your feelings. Your affections control your mind, your desires, and ultimately, your actions. The enemy is vying for control of your heart and your affections. He is called the God of this world. So he will paint things. He will shade things. He will color things. He'll try to get you to focus on a certain thing. He'll try to work with your emotions. He'll try to lie to you. He'll try to whisper things in your ear. You're never going to get ahead. Look at that person. You've got to run this way. You've got to take that job. You've got to leave that. He'll get you going around chasing your tail. He's vying for your affections. And he's constantly trying to manipulate and tarnish the image of God. That's exactly what he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say, don't eat that? Did he really say that? Well, of course he said that. Of course, he wasn't trying to keep you from something. He was trying to keep something that was not God's will away from Adam and Eve. But the enemy is a master deceiver. So it tells us here, set your mind, set your affections on things above. Don't just look to get ahead. Don't just look about what money's going to buy, and it's going to make me happy. And if I just get that, and it's not going to work. It never has. If you don't realize that, you will. You will soon. Jesus says something amazing in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, where he really touches on this in a powerful way after he talks about, in Matthew 6, some amazing things with fasting and praying and giving. He says something in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Notice what he says. Come on, can we read this out loud, everybody? three verses. Can we do that? Let's go. 1, 2, 3, read. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves that do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. They'll also be. They'll be also. They'll be there. The desires of your heart. So Jesus is really talking about natural things and supernatural things. He's talking about eternal things, and he's talking about natural or supernatural, natural or physical things. He's talking about spiritual things and supernatural things, all in this verse. So he's just saying, he's not saying, guys, if you have a checking account, a 401k or a savings account, if you have your house paid for, y'all are going to hell. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the issue of love and affection and heart. He says, make sure that it's not just about what you can have on the earth. Because on the earth, we've all seen just recently, several years ago, increase in the stock market, increase in housing prices, crash and burn. It's called the cyclical nature of the economy. It happens all the time. We don't need to be worried about it. We don't need to be fretful about it. We don't need to put our love and our trust in that and our confidence in that. The Bible says, don't just lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Make sure you're rich toward God. Because He says in verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. The desires of your heart are going to be there. Wherever your treasure is, your heart follows your treasure, and your treasure reveals your heart. So the key for us, all of us, is that we're not to look at money as a treasure, but we're to look at money as a tool. We use the tool doesn't use us. We use the tool. We use it. So he says, make sure that when it comes to money, make sure when it comes to resources, and the Old Testament says, when riches increase, don't set your heart on it. Don't set your heart on it. Or if riches decrease, don't ask, where's God? Don't ask, where's God? God will be with you no matter what situation you're going through. We want to do something right now. I thought about trying to give you something, a little something to keep around the house here for the next 3 weeks. So our ushers have got, come on ushers, Amy, you're going to help us out this morning? We've got it. We've got all a dollar bill, a crispy, never been used before, dollar bill for every person in the room. Ushers, come on, help me, ushers, quick. We're going to come down here and pass them up the row. Everybody grab one. Somebody's saying, dear Lord, I wish it was a Ben Franklin. No, it's not a Ben Franklin. Because here's what I know. If we gave you a Benjamin, you'd probably spend it. So here's what we want you to do. Grab this $1. It's real. It's real. Everybody grab the $1 bill. Just pass them right down the row. As they get them right there, the ushers will grab them, and we'll just get the rest of them. As you grab this dollar, as you have this dollar, I don't know, it's probably going to be a little bit wrinkly by the time you go home. Maybe you can give it to your wife, husband, so it doesn't get wrinkly, or maybe you need to wrinkle it up a little bit. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this dollar bill and put it someplace that you're going to see it every day. For me, I know exactly where it is. It's right there on my counter in my bathroom. I want to look at it every day. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at it, and I want you to say this. You don't control me. Come on, practice this morning. Will you do it? Come on, look at it. Baby, look at it. And just say, you don't control me. Come on, say that. You don't control me. Come on, how many know George is looking back at you right now? Some of you are thinking, George's eyes just moved. No, he didn't. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on, one more time. Just look at it. Just say, you won't control me. You won't control me. You won't control me. Put it in your pocket. Give it to your wife. Put it somewhere. Don't spend it. If you spend it, I pray the fleas of 1,000 camels will come under your armpits and nest. If you come to church next week going like this, we'll know you bought a pack of gum. Isn't it true, though, that we can be Christians? Maybe a lot of you in the room are Christians, and there can still be areas of our life that we haven't given up control. And really, can I tell you, right here, guys, this is the number one area. This is the number one area. God's asking for your heart. Concerning your affections, somebody said this. Set your affections, number one, early in life. Early in life. If you're a teenager, if you're a young adult in the room, set your affections right concerning God and money. And if you're older like me and maybe some other people, I believe that God can redeem the time. Where God can make up years, like the Old Testament scripture says, that locusts and all these caterpillars have come in and just pillaged. Maybe you, the person who gets ahead and goes back, and you go, I've never honored God, I've never tithed, I've never given offerings, it's always been about me. And maybe you've never heard. Or maybe you've heard, and there's been issues of your heart or affections. Set your affections early in life. Number two, set your affections early in the day. Early in the day. Early in the day. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, His ways of doing and being right. Seek you. I seek you today. I seek you today. You want me to bless somebody today? Let me know. I don't. What I have is not mine. It belongs to you. I'm a manager. I'm an owner. You've given me five. You've given me two. You've given me one according to my ability. I can't complain about what I've got. You gave me what I'm supposed to have. You want me to increase. And one of the ways I'm going to increase is be a giver. And you're always trying to bless me. So I've got to seek God early in the day. Set your affections, number three, early in pursuits. Early in pursuits. In school, what do you want me to do? In career, what career path do I need to go on? Set your affections early in your marriage. If you're marrying somebody and they don't agree with you financially, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. I tithe, she doesn't. He tithes, I don't. We believe in sacrifices. You're going to have trouble. You better deal with it before you get married. Concerning God and your money, look on the screen. God will never ask you or tell you to do something that was impossible to do. Never. So if He says in the Word of God, you can tithe, you can tithe. If He says in the Word of God, you can give offerings above that, God forbid, you can. If God's asking you to do something which is crazy, which He will from time to time, at different times in your life, where you go, I don't know how, I just have this burning desire, I'm supposed to do this crazy gift to somebody, I'm supposed to support the church. So many people, when we did the renovation of the church on the inside, it was about $100,000 and change. So many people just, boom, come up to the table. And yet I wonder how many people maybe did nothing. Maybe did nothing. But sure enjoy lights and a new auditorium and sure enjoy services, but maybe their hearts were not there. God would never ask you or tell you to do something that was impossible for you to do. So if He says, I can forgive that person, I can. If He says, I can be married to the same wife from all my life and not commit adultery, I can. If He says, I can control my thought life concerning anything that's happened in my life, I can. If He says, I can be loving and forgiving and honoring and joyful and happy, I can. I can. Real quick, gosh, guys, I'm sorry for taking so long this morning. Just got to get this to you. Let's wind down. We looked at several negative situations. Let's look at a guy that got it right in closing. Let's look at a guy that got it right, King David. 1 Chronicles 29. Look at that real quick. Verse 2 and 3. 1 Chronicles 29, 2 and 3. David is going to do something amazing. David is gathering resources so that this church could be built, the temple. Solomon was actually going to build it, his son. David wasn't going to build it, but he's gathering all the resources. Notice what it says in verse 2. Notice these words that just should stand out for all of us. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared. Come on, say, I have prepared. With all my might, gold for the things to be made of gold, silver for the things of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones and marble slabs in abundance. Woo! How many know this place is going to look good? Verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection, I've prepared and I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. My own special treasure of gold and silver. Three things he says. I've prepared, I've set my affection, and I've given. I've prepared. Lord, you've been so good to me. So I've gathered this resource that you've blessed me with, and I've set my affection not on my house, but on your house. I've set my affection not on my kingdom, but on your kingdom. I've set my affection not on my will, but your will be done. And I've not just set my affection, not just a heart thing, but now it's a doing thing. And I've given of my own over and above. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done something concerning your giving? I've talked to a lot of people in my life who I think have taken over and above vacations. They've bought over and above cars that they really couldn't afford. They shop it over and above stores that really their budget should discourage them from. He says, it's not about me. It's about the house of God. My heart and my affections. And David looks around at his men and he says, who's going to do the same thing? And the Bible says all those guys said, we're consecrating our heart and we're giving as well. Later in this passage, the Bible says, David says concerning God, that God tests our heart. He tries our affections. He allows things to happen that, again, will reveal to us what's really in our heart. The Apostle Paul said something similar in the New Testament. He says these Corinthians who were poor at one time, they had a ready mind and a willing heart, even concerning what they had or what they didn't have. Somebody said this, that there's going to be many times in our lives that we have to pass this test, and this test is called the money test. Time after time, what do I do with this on a consistent basis? You know, somebody's told me a long time ago, in fact, in Canada, it was kind of funny, this couple, they got fired up one time, and they wrote me a $10,000 check to the church. And I went, woo, wow, we, $10,000 check, woo, thank you. And he said, hang on, we're just kind of writing it by faith. And so I said, what's that mean? Well, we haven't got the money, and so if we ever get the money, the check will be good. How many know the check was never good? There's some things I believe that God will ask us to do. I say that kind of in joke, and I've known several people that they pledged money, me included, pledged money, sense in my heart to do it. I could see how I'd have to make a lot of sacrifices, and God honored it, and we could do that, like a lot of you in the same way. But concerning that, that was really fallacy and really ignorance concerning God's will. Even though his heart might have been in the right place. And I don't know if he could have done it anyway. Maybe he could have done it. Maybe he had that money but was just waiting for something else to come in. But really God's asking us what we do on a consistent and a daily basis. Someone said this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. There's four Christian paradoxes. Let's close right here. Four Christian paradoxes. Write them down. We live by dying. We live by dying. We rise by lowering. We gain by losing. And we get by keeping. We get by giving. It doesn't make sense. How do you do that? How could you live by dying? How can you rise by lowering? How can you gain by losing something? How can you actually get by giving? It's called the God factor, that when God gets involved in your life, He'll do things for you that just don't make sense. Can somebody say amen this morning? There are two brothers in Genesis chapter, late in Genesis. I don't know what chapter it exactly is. Two twins. They've been fighting their whole life. Later on in life, they meet. And Jacob says to his brother Esau, please take this gift I brought to you. for God has been very gracious to me. He said, I have more than enough. Take this gift. God's been so good to me. I have more than enough. What do you think about that? What do you say about that? How do you apply that to your life? Do you say this morning, I don't have more than enough. I don't have enough. Can I tell you? Make a heart change this morning that God has given you one bag of silver, two bags of silver, five bags of silver to do something with what He's given. You have resources right now to support your need and to take care of the things that He says are important to Him, which is seeking first the kingdom of God. Apply it to your life. Look at your heart. Look at your affections. Check your motives with money. Check what you value. Check maybe what's happening with spending. Check, just look at your treasure. Look at where the money's going. And ask God, help me manage these resources in a way that will honor You. I want to do what the Scripture says. I want to seek first Your kingdom and right standing with You. You said You're going to add things to me. I'm not going to chase money. I'm not going to go after it. I'm not going to be a Judas and say, well, that money should be used some. And what about that? I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to let things be alone that have nothing to do with me. I am going to guard my heart because my life is flowing from my heart. If you do that, I guarantee it, you're on the way for God's using you as you cooperate with your heart and your affections are directed toward Him. You're going to see things happen in your life concerning finances as you are liberal and generous with your giving. God will do things for you in 2015 maybe He hasn't been able to do for the last decade. Amen. Prove God. I challenge you. Prove God. He will back up His word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Come on, stand up everybody. Hope you got something out of that this morning. Take that dollar bill. Thank you. Come on. Praise God. Take that dollar bill. Put it someplace you can see all week for the next 3 weeks. And you just shout out and just tell that dollar bill, you won't control me. You won't control me. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be liberal. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give offerings. I'm going to see God work in my life. I'm going to set my affections early. 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 I set my affections early. Work in my heart, oh God. Come on, bow your head. Close your eyes. I know it's a tough message so many times to hear. Let God just work in your heart this morning. Plow up our heart, oh God. Let the seed of Your Word find soil of our heart where it will produce a good return. Father, we come against doubt or fear, negativity. We come against the lies of the enemy that the enemy tries to shout in our ear. All the church is after, or all those Christians are after, is just our money. No, Father. Calm the heart of every person this morning that's seeking You in a new way to be generous and to be liberal with what You've blessed them with. Father, show every person again today that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, that it belongs to You. Help us manage the resources that we have. Father, we look to You today as the source of all of our fries. You don't need what we have, but You want what we have because it revolves around our heart and our willingness, our affections. So, Father God, help us partner with You in this season of our life and forever and ever. Parents partnering with You and teaching their children how to be generous and how to be free and liberal with their finances. Talk to our hearts, Father, today. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Prayer partners, come on up here and help us. Would you do it this morning? Prayer partners, come on up here and help us. If you're here and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we always want to give you an opportunity, first and foremost, to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. We implore you, we beg of you to give your life totally and wholly.